Good to see you. There, now we have it going. The title of my message today is Praying in the Dark, but I have a confession to make. I would much rather it be Sleeping in the Dark. You see, I have had a problem falling asleep for the past several nights, and I'm doing this as a way of confession. If you see me losing focus, or I seem to be losing focus, it's not that I seem to. I'm actually losing focus because there was a mix-up at the pharmacy, and we'll fix that on Monday, but I've been without sleep since Friday, so I will do my best to stay focused, but I will also appreciate your energy and your forgiveness if I don't. The message is entitled Praying in the Dark. It was supposed to be a time of joy. Her baby girl had just been born. She had held her close and cooed her, and after a while, the nurse took her for just a few standard tests. Now, the next thing that happened was the doctor came in the room, not a nurse, and he looked troubled. Her newborn girl had a rare genetic disease. She probably wouldn't live past the age of 4. 1 in a million, he had said. Where's the comfort in that? She could feel herself slowly sink into the cold darkness of life. She was only 12. Until yesterday, life had seemed full of possibility and exciting. That was yesterday. Today is different. He had moved next door. He seemed nice at first, but he wasn't. How would she ever tell anyone? She felt ashamed. The world began to narrow as if she were looking through a long, dark tunnel. They had struggled for so long, just him and his little boy. This week was turning out to be more than either of them could handle. The $18,000 a year he made working at the corner market barely kept their head above water, but also kept them from getting any real help. There had been a fire a month ago. It was electrical and not surprising considering the dilapidated state of the apartment they had lived in, but it was really all they could afford. Now they were out of money. The motel manager was kicking them out today, and even the local churches were doing nothing more than saying, "We're really sorry." They had no family or friends left. Tonight, they would be living in the dark alleys of the world. We live in a world full of ills. They are the dark places in this life. The illnesses can be physical, mental, and even sociological. Each of them are debilitating, isolating, limiting, and worst of all, they can rob us of hope and leave us in a place where God can seem sometimes to be all too small. If you've been there, to that dark place of life, you know what it feels like to love, fear, and question that same God that at times seems too small. The dark places are disturbing. They are life-shaking, insurmountable, defeating, horribly cold, and sometimes lonely. To a person who is there, in that dark place, praying can at times feel simply like a joke. Pray to that small God. Why? Why bother? Look where your God got me. Is it okay with your God that I'm here alone in the darkest place in my life that I've ever known, alone in the dark? I've been there. I don't know about you. I suspect many of you have. Now, we all travel to different depths of that darkness. In my darkness, there was always this bright light at the end of the tunnel, and I was almost 100% sure it wasn't the proverbial oncoming train. But at times, the light was little more than a pinprick in the midnight of my life. Praying was hard. A little while back, I actually talked about such a time in my life in a message entitled Groans Too Deep for Words. Times when we hurt so bad that there are no words, just groans for God. In the darkest places, even groaning to God can at times seem farcical. In those times, praying is hard. Now, in our text today, Jesus goes out into a desert while it was very dark and prays. His praying, though, is sandwiched in this story between two stories of healing. in this story, there seems to be a very direct connection between the praying and the healing. In a world so full of ills, and considering this connection Jesus seems to place between praying and healing, I think that it might serve us well to consider what it is to pray. What is prayer? Now, don't take that question too simply. I'm not asking what do you do when you pray. I'm asking, what is the essence of prayer? Don't tell me what you do. Don't answer saying, well, you bow your head, you fold your hands, you talk to God. I'm looking for something deeper than that in this question. Something that explains why we pray. What's the point? That's what you want to know in those dark moments of life. What's the point? Well, I can give you my perspective. First and foremost, prayer is an expression of our relationship with God. Prayer is more than mere words. It's heart-hungering longing for communion with that which is larger than us, God, the infinite. Praying is seeking an encounter, a God encounter, not simply seeking what God can do for us. Praying is the only way we have in this life to touch God. Praying is pushing past what the world loudly demands and finding a still, small voice that says, you are mine. Well, what does that look like during the dark times of life? What does praying in the dark look like? Praying in the dark means praying in response to the pain, the darkness, the absence in life. It may be crying out, why? My God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe crying out for comfort. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Praying in the dark is when you are surrounded by an absence of confirming signs, yet you keep praying because you know God is faithful. Praying in the dark is when your mind has no illumination and nevertheless nothing else makes sense, and you're perplexed and you're stymied. Praying in the dark means not trusting in the moment, but trusting in the one who is larger than all of the moments. Here's the thing. Praying is so much more than mere words. Our lives are a prayer. Our very lives are a prayer. What is prayer? Let's review what I said earlier. Prayer, first and foremost, is an expression of our relationship with God. Think of this past week in your life. Close your eyes if you need to, and imagine this past week as a movie. And play it back for yourself slowly. Now cut out all the sound. No words, just actions. Now, slowly speed up the film, watching for the ways your actions were an expression of your relationship with God. How is your prayer life? Not at night as you go to bed, rather your life as a prayer to God. How is your prayer life? Jesus spent most of his time here on earth teaching and healing. His life was undoubtedly an expression of his relationship with God. Now, in looking at prayer, I also said that prayer is more than mere words. It's a heart-hungering longing for communion with that which is larger than us, God, the infinite. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, so too you have done it unto me." If our life is a prayer, and prayer is a heart-hungering longing for communion with the one who is our reason for being, then why do we not spend more time seeking out those who suffer the illnesses of this world? If we seek communion with God, Jesus tells us we will find it in communion with those who suffer. In thinking about prayer, I also said that praying is seeking a God encounter, not simply seeking what God can do for you. Praying is the only way we have in this life to reach out and touch God. Prayer is, in that sense, like coming as close to touching God as we can. In the life of Jesus, we see the power of touch. In His healing ministry, Jesus places actually a priority on touch. So many times, He begins His healing with touch. In our text today, it says He came and He took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her. Touch only happens when you are out there with those in need. It is good that we do give financially to those in need. As a matter of fact, it's not just good, it's biblical. But it's also not quite enough. Leading a life of prayer is seeking an encounter with God. Seeking out the opportunity to touch God by touching the lives of the people of God. And finally, I said, praying is pushing past what this world loudly demands and finding the still, small voice that says, "You are mine." So many times, we get wrapped up in the things of this world. We buy into the worldly implications that we get what we deserve in this life. You hear it in the plea of those in dark places. What did I do to deserve this? You hear it in the condescending tones of people in well-to-do places saying, "You could have had better if you just work harder for it." It is the lie of our times. You had it coming. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. That is the voice of this world, not the voice of God. Paul tells us we are to be in this world, but not of it. We are not to cry out to the world, "You get what you deserve." We are to humbly whisper to those dark places that God says, "You are mine." You see, praying in the dark requires humility. It means living as a limited human being, not knowing everything, not having all of the answers. Acknowledging your limitations, respecting boundaries, not having to do it all by yourself. Praying in the dark does not always require words. But at times, it does require holding hands, sitting together silently, leaning on each other, and reaching out to others who are in the dark. Jesus came to show us the way to wholeness. He came to heal our bodies and our hearts and our spirits. He came to show us how to pray in the darkness of this world. When we suffer from illness or serve others who suffer from the ills of the world, we too are called to pray in the darkness. The illnesses of this world presents us with the choice to reject God and God's hope or to believe in that hope. Praying in the dark can lead us to forgiveness, healing, and inspiration for ourselves and for others. In other words, while the illnesses of this world, in and of themselves, are not a good thing, they can be used to show us and to show others the love of God. The suffering places in this life are opportunities to pray in the dark, opportunities to put the love of God into action. After all, as we just read in our text, Jesus went through Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. For Jesus, praying, proclaiming, and healing literally went hand in hand. Now, go back to that film strip in your mind, the film strip of your life from this past week. Play it back without the sound. Edit out the parts where you actually said a prayer. Now play it back knowing what living a life of prayer looks like. What do you see? Is it what you want it to be? My guess is that for most of us, it's not what we would want it to be, ultimately. Now, imagine your life in the coming week as a film. You are the writer, you are the director and the actor. What is going to be different this week? Where will your life intentionally intersect with the lives of those who are suffering from the ills of this world? Those who find themselves in the darkest places of this life. How will your life be a prayer in those darknesses? In all that we choose, may our lives, like that of Jesus, proclaim the love of God to a world as we live lives of prayer, even as we reach out into the darkness.